Before you turn your book to your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 26. Book of Proverbs, chapter 26. We're going to look at a couple of verses tonight that seem contradictory. One of the beauties about the Word of God is you may not always understand it, but you can always believe it. Amen? And sometimes we think, well, we have to be able to explain it. Well, I hope we can explain a little bit tonight, but I want to deal with the subject tonight, how to answer fools. How to answer fools. Before we begin reading, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time to gather. We pray for your blessing. We pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God that you might use what is said and done here for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 26, notice with me in verse number 1, says, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Tremendous words that God wants us to understand, I believe, some things about fools. First of all, I hope you're not one. Secondly, what does God want us to do in regards to fools? When you look at verse number 4 and you look at verse number 5, it seems like they contradict. One says answering, the other one says answer not. One says according to his folly, and the other says according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit, the other lest thou be like unto him. There's two different reasons that God gives. Basically, save yourself the pain, the trouble, and just the waste of time dealing with them as we ignore their saucy, their stupid, scornful questions, basically. Now, I'm going to say a few things tonight that I hope you listen to all of it because you might take some things wrong. We ought to always take the high road of truth. Amen? We need to have wisdom as we speak, and we do not need to stoop to the kind of speech and so forth that we find in a fool. Their lazy ignorance concerning the Word of God, and really their outright despising of it. Answers are not a right to anyone. They're a privilege. When you and I want truth, and we and I desire truth, God wants to give us truth. But we will find from Scripture that those who will not, God does not give it to them. I believe from the Scripture here, in verse number 4 and 5, really, it's wrong to debate with fools. They don't deserve knowledge or truth. It's really too precious to waste on them. Wise men have better uses of their time than to sit around arguing with a fool, somebody who's not going to listen to you no matter what. Matter of fact, arguing so often is a fleshly lust. And so I believe it's really a sin to debate with men that do not clearly display a godly character or want to know the truth. And basically, you debate with them, you're going to honor their foolish ignorance. You say, you should say enough to shut their mouths. If I understand verse number 5 correctly, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. They deserve no honor, as we find in verse number 1. And it's interesting, verse number 3, only a beating will truly help them. Notice what it says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Interesting thoughts there. To keep them from thinking they're right, we need to briefly really refute their idiotic notions, but we do not need to back down as far as truth is concerned. but we don't need to waste our time on them. If you debate truth with a fool, he will despise you. And your words and your ridicule, I believe, are that which comes back to haunt. Notice verse number 9. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so a parable in the mouth of fools. They ridicule the very precious things that you tell them. They do not seek to understand. You will degrade, I think, the truth by letting them mock and reproach. Another thing we find is they so often will twist our words and use them against us. If you don't believe that, just listen to the news media and all that's going on out of Washington, D.C. And I'll get off that one. I'll be upset real quick. Our hearts, we find, are corrupt with hate and violence until we get saved. That's not going to change. Isaiah 29, verse number 20, he says, "For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender of a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught." So what we do give is turned aside, and it is not accepted by the fool. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that really he confirms Solomon's teaching. In Matthew 7:6, he said this, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Jesus often rebuked the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the lawyers, and the scribes of his day, but he strictly avoided any foolish wrangling with them. He stood for truth, but didn't stand and argue with them. Matter of fact, his answers were rather unique, I believe. Some people say, "Well, that's too harsh." You ever think about what Jesus called him? He called them dogs. He called them pigs. Vile animals and perpetual examples of beastly cruelty and really selfish greed, among other despicable traits. When told he'd offended the Pharisees, Jesus said to his apostles in Matthew 15:14, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And so we find that really our words to a fool are becoming very empty in their own hearts and minds. Why? Because they do not want to receive it. We have to stand for truth. We answer, lest it be wise in his conceit. But on the other side, we're not going to continue on in that kind of thing, lest thou also be like him, according to verse number 4. How do you spot a fool? Number one, it's very easy. Listen to him talk. Matter of fact, a fool talks way too much. Psalm 14:7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." Just listen to what they say. It's pretty easy to measure. Also, watch his walk. How does he walk? In Proverbs 20, verse 11, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his works be pure and whether it be right." So we have to see or listen to what they say, watch what they do. A fool talks a lot. He likes his own ideas. He gets angry easily, always excuses his conduct, belittles others, prefers teaching over being taught, wants to debate almost anything. He resents authority. He disdains convention, and he talks very profanely. A fool does not live by the Bible and has no spiritual fruit, which is the true measure of real wisdom. What's God trying to teach us here? God's trying to teach us there are many fools, We have to tell the truth, but don't stand around and argue with them. It's not going to do you any good. There's too many people out there that want the truth as to waste our time with that. And when you do so, they then turn your words around to use against you in some way, shape, or form. One of the problems that most of us have is we want to get in the last word. Is that true? We believe we can persuade somebody by our reasoning. We think that love will win the day. We see no risk to our own soul, and thus we find ourselves in a dangerous situation. Paul warned about it. Matter of fact, on several occasions, but allow me to read 1 Timothy 1:3. He says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. What's he teaching us? He's teaching us what it says in Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, and then answer a fool according to his folly. Tell him the truth, but don't stand around and argue with him. This may be a little hard to understand, but answers and truth are not a right. They're a privilege that you and I can have if we meet the conditions. Basically, the condition is we want to accept it. If you want truth from God, God will give it to you. If you don't want it, you won't get it. It's really that simple. When men don't have the right spirit and response to the truth, we find that God sends a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Does that not fit our society today? Is that not where we're at so often, as we try to tell men this is the right way to go, and they want to argue, and they don't want to believe it, and so God allows them to believe that which will delude their minds? Interesting, as we study the Word of God in this connection, give the truth, remembering not all people will believe. The Lord Jesus Christ had 12 disciples. I don't know where you stand, but the Bible says that Judas had a devil. Why did he choose him? I'm not exactly sure, but I don't believe he was saved. And so God, still, he had in his presence this one. Not all who will are here will believe. We find the Apostle Paul in his last days. They come to him as he's in Rome, and the Bible says that some of them believed and some of them didn't. But it doesn't do any good to argue with them. If you've not found that out by now, you probably will. There's many things you and I can do as far as a sinner is concerned. First, we need to tell them the truth. Amen? We need to have a loving, compassionate attitude toward them. Tell them the truth. But when they reject that truth, it's not going to help to argue with them. Because they don't want to hear it. And that's a sad scenario. There are times the Spirit of God will give you some responses because they come back and you answer. But at the same time, it's not good just to argue and argue and argue. What's ever been accomplished with arguments? Families have been torn apart with arguments, have they not? Churches have been torn apart with arguments, have they not? Friends get torn apart because of arguments. And really, it's all about pride in our hearts. And so we think we can make somebody to understand it the way we do. If we want people to understand the Word of God, we give them the truth, and we do so in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that can teach, is He not? But they may not listen to Him. They will harden their hearts. Pharaoh did. Moses, the great prophet of God, would not listen to Pharaoh. And so Moses just gave him the truth on several occasions, never argued. And how we need to remember just that great principle. What's he saying in this scripture? Well, it's very simple. He says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And he says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Don't let him think that he's, you know, got it over on you. You got to tell him the truth. But it doesn't do any good to keep at it as far as argument is concerned, lest we be like unto him. Don't be foolish in dealing with fools. Amen? We got a great book here. And I love the book of Proverbs. I've taken a new, how can I say this, a renewed interest in the book of Proverbs. And what a tremendous book we have. It is Solomon, under inspiration of God, giving instruction to his son. And that instruction is how to get along in many different areas of life. We fail to understand, but really the Bible is very simple. And I believe the simplest way for me to explain it is this. God gave two great commandments, did he not? We're to love the Lord and we're to love our neighbor. We have two things. And so the Bible's about these two things. One is that how we are to treat God. The other is how we're to treat other people. Very simple. And as you study the epistles, you study the Word of God, you find so much is given for us on how to deal with other people. And here's one of those instances. It may not seem like this is being very loving, but I'll tell you this, a child does not see the love when you pull the switch back and lay it on his bottom. And a person needs to know there is truth, and they need to know that it's so ingrained in you, you're not just going to stand there and argue with him, but it's so much in you that it's not worth arguing. You just know. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say there. There's a lost world that need Christ. Amen. Most of them are very foolish. We have a responsibility to give them the gospel. But it's not going to help to argue with them. So keep in mind. But be careful. Ask for God's wisdom and all that. Amen.